Thank you for the presentation, and most of all, thank you for organizing this very interesting conference. I think I must speak up a little bit because I don't have a microphone here. So what I will try to do is to provide what I take to be the correct definition of what Husserl means by crisis of European or Western sciences. It's very well-known theme. I believe that in many cases the Husserl text encourages a wrong reading of what this crisis amounts to, and so that's what I will try to do, is to work out a different interpretation from the one that is normally suggested. So as you all know, Husserl begins really talking about this in section one of the crisis, the last book by Husserl, unfinished book by Husserl, and he himself begins by stressing that it's odd to speak about a crisis of the sciences given the countless successes of the different sciences. And in this respect, I would like immediately to make a comparison. You know, the way in which science is successful for Husserl is completely different from the way in which contemporary philosophers of science speak about the success of science. And it's important because if we read Husserl with that conceptual framework in mind, we don't understand anything. So the point is that in contemporary philosophy of science, the success of science is mainly considered as predictive and explanatory or technical, and the question then becomes whether the fact that is taken to be uncontroversial, and I think that's quite true, uncontroversial predictive technical success of science is able to warrant the much stronger claim that science actually gives a true or partially true picture of reality. And that's very much how the question of scientific realism is framed today. Now, this is not at all the way in which Husserl addresses the problem, because when he says that science is successful, there's no doubt that he means that it is successful in actually knowing the truth about the world, both natural and social sciences. And there is a list of points in which, I mean, throughout Husserl's work in which this is very clear. So actually Husserl will speak there about a technical and a theoretical success of science. And by theoretical success of science, Husserl means precisely the fact that by and large, scientists either, especially in the case of formal mathematical sciences, they give us true statements, or in the case of empirical sciences, they give us compelling statements, or grounded statements that may turn out to be revised in some way, but that they are compelling for us, convincing. So it's the crisis of science. For sure, it's not the fact that science is unable to get at true judgments. On the contrary. And then immediately Husserl says, well, what is the crisis of science? Well, the crisis of science can only be a crisis of scientificity. What is perhaps unfortunate to translate as scientific character, as it is done by Carr, in the sense that Wissenschaftlichkeit helps us understand it more, that what is in question is the adherence of science with its essence, how it should be. So the question is whether our sciences are really scientific or not. And that's the question. And then after clarifying this, that the problem is the scientificity of science, how scientific they are, he immediately says, well, this is puzzling too, because after all, of course they are scientific. They are very rigorous in their way of progressing. They get either to the truth or to very or statements that are very likely to be true. Remember, we're talking in the 30s, what is the cultural climate? The development of social sciences since the 19th century is extremely important, so there is a wealth of knowledge concerning the past, concerning archaeology, concerning paleontology. So there is no doubt that we are. You just walk in a museum, like the British Museum, and you just travel through time, and you have the feeling that the entire truth of the story, or the history of mankind, for instance, is there for us. And so the problem is, so why is not really scientific? Well, what Husserl says is this: using scientific method in this kind of successful way, it's only a first order of scientificity. You can be scientific in this way, in the way in which we would say that physics, for instance, is a rigorous science. You can even discover all the true elements of chemistry, and yet there is a level of scientificity that is missing, and this is what he will identify as the crisis of sciences. Now, the whole point is understanding what is lacking. What is this deeper scientificity that Husserl believes is lacking from science? And here the text of Husserl becomes a little bit twisted and complicated, and I think that this is the reason why there have been so many misunderstandings, in the sense that Husserl there is immediately, actually, not immediately, unfortunately, but what he's aiming to do is to bring the eternal central theme of transcendental phenomenology, which is the constitution of the different domains of scientific investigation. That's what he's trying to do. But he does it in a very twisted and complex way, for reasons that I cannot investigate here, because it begins by saying, well, let's listen to this talk about the crisis of science that at that time was very widespread. It's not at all an invention by Husserl. Many other people talked about the crisis of science. Let's see what people complain about. What is that they complain about? They complain about the loss of meaning for life of science. I'm kind of paraphrasing too. And unfortunately, this is paragraph 2 of the introduction. It is tempting to read this as Husserl saying, that's a crisis of science, the loss of their meaning for life. But if we read carefully, we see that things are more complicated and that this is a wrong reading. And Husserl does not identify the crisis of science with the loss of their meaning for life. What it does is to say, let's begin from the fact that so many people actually understand that scientific discoveries today, both in the natural and in the human science, both in the Naturwissenschaften and the Geisteswissenschaften, they all seem to be so meaningless to us. Something that Husserl believes to be the case. Husserl agrees that our sciences basically have nothing interesting to tell us about the highest problems of existence. He agrees on that. And he says, that's a fact. And then he does, so why is it that? What is the historical source of that? That's the strategy. In a nutshell, I say it first in the nutshell, and then I say it a little bit in detail. That's the move. The move is the following. Why is it that what scientists tell us today is so meaningless for the highest question of existence, or the question that really can matter to us? Why is that? Well, that's in a nutshell, because our sciences have lost their embeddedness, their rootedness in a all-encompassing philosophy, culminating in metaphysics. It's only when they were part of this universal philosophy that also the discoveries of the positive sciences could actually mean something to us. Once this kind of philosophical shell is broken and the scientists begin to enjoy an existence on their own, they become only sciences of fact, that's another way, they become just a positivistic residue in a sense of knowledge, then they become also meaningless. Always in a nutshell, what has got this to do with the crisis of Western sciences? The following thing: if you do the first step, you acknowledge that our sciences are meaningless, because they are not part of a universal philosophy anymore, then you ask yourself, has this uprootedness, has this loss of rootedness in a universal philosophy culminated in metaphysics, has it had also an impact on the scientificity of science? And the question is yes. So what happens to the scientificity of sciences when they are not part of a metaphysical system? What happens to them is the following thing, that the sense of the being that they investigate is lost. And that's the idea. And therefore, although they yield theoretical truth, so they are able to discover the truth, they do it in a somehow blind way, because they don't understand and they cannot see anymore what the real ontological status of their object of investigation is. And therefore, the sense of their truth is completely lost. The sense of the truth. Now, I don't have anything more to say than this. So I will simply try to explain it a little bit better. So that's the strategy. So we have to begin with the fact that what does it mean for a science to be meaningful? Well, and not to be meaningful, and then why this is related to metaphysics, and why the loss of metaphysics, of modern metaphysics also, which is somehow reached in this way, has an impact on this deeper level of scientificity of the sciences. And a way of, two examples can help us. I don't know whether we'll have time to work the two of them in detail, but certainly not in detail. But let's begin with nature. How was nature considered in early modern philosophy? Well, Husserl will tell us. If you read, which he probably didn't do very well, but to a certain extent he did, if you read the classical metaphysicians of modernity, you will see that also the science of nature was considered to be something that contains a message for us, an interesting message. And it could do so mainly because it was related in a direct or indirect way to theology. So only because it was part of a philosophy culminating, for instance, in theology. I could read a quotation that is not to be found in Husserl, but I think it's very appropriate, in which Wolf, the famous German metaphysician, says that in his physics, even the most insignificant thing become like a ladder on which the educated mind can go in order to reach God and to get closer to God. That is lost completely. And this is the loss of sense for life. But by being uprooted from metaphysics, that's something more technical in a sense that happens, and that it is that the ontological status of nature itself becomes completely a mystery. And the best way of seeing this is that at the time of Husserl, there was as it is today, basically there is no consensus on we have a physics that works, but there is no consensus of what physics is about. Because if you ask an empiricist, if you ask an empiricist, there's a completely different view from a Kantian, there's a completely different view from a realist. All differences that do not encroach upon the development of science, but that completely modify the sense of the truth of science. If you at that time, perhaps in the debate we can go in detail, but all the different interpretations of what physics is about which is the main debate, epistemological debate, for instance, between the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, is what physics is about. Is it about perceptions that needs to be organized in a certain way? It is about a world that exists beyond perception. Those are precisely things that concern the ontological status of the object. And that's precisely the reason why physics is in a crisis. And that leads to the famous problem of Galileo and the relation between idealization and the Lebensweit. I cannot go into that in detail, but that's an aspect of that. What is the real world? Is it beyond the world of perception? Is it the world of perception idealized? It is. So it is a status of the object of physics. Completely, and here you have the two levels. A even easier example in the last 5 minutes, you find it, if you talk about history, for instance, it's quite clear that history interpreted as a positive science, as it was done at that time, becomes completely meaningless. Because it's a list of facts. But again, why is it meaningless now as opposed to as it used to be? Well, because once, at least not in the early modernity, but in late modernity, when philosophy of history existed, people could actually read or imagine that there is a sense in history. And that was the metaphysics of history that had the task of unveiling a sense in history. We lost that. But again, is this loss of sense the crisis? Not really. It's connected to the crisis, but it's not really the crisis. What is that? The underlying ontological problem? The underlying ontological problem is, again, that the mode of being of the object of history and of human sciences in general has become obscure and enigmatic. And so, if you see in this way, I think the case of the crisis of science becomes what? Becomes precisely the fact that sciences are somehow dimly aware of having betrayed the idea of episteme, of authentic science. They are only theoretical techniques. And what does it mean to be a theoretical technique once more? It means to be able, in principle at least, to get to the truth, but ignoring the sense of being of the object in question. And therefore, it's also, if this is understood, it becomes also clear why transcendental phenomenology is the cure for the crisis of the sciences, which otherwise wouldn't be clear at all. Transcendental phenomenology is the cure for the crisis of the sciences precisely because the theory of constitution is what will allow the grasp of the ontological status, to use this expression, which is not Husserlian, of the different regions of beings investigated by the sciences. And so, basically, they will only transcendental phenomenology can give to the sciences once more the status of authentic sciences. And only once this is done, only once the existing sciences that are only theoretical techniques are once more embedded into the unity of philosophy, of a new philosophy, philosophy that this time is based on transcendental phenomenology, only then they will also reacquire a sense for human existence. But the idea is precisely to do that through the foundational work of phenomenology. So I think I'm done.